Hello.
Hi,
I'm Sasha.
And I'm Ezra.
And welcome back to another episode of our podcast,
Concerning Climate.
Today we have Dr. Sarah Fortner.
Dr. Sarah Fortner is an associate professor at Wittenberg University. She is the director of environmental science. She works on climate change, environmental justice, geochemistry, and civic education research. Thank you so much for coming. We are so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what you do.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I had a physics teacher that was really great, and he saw that I was a very curious person, and he said, you know, there's a glacier program that I can recommend to you in Alaska called the Juneau Ice Field Research Program, and I went on that program in high school and saw beautiful glaciers and was intrigued by like how amazing they were. and that kind of set my course. And so after going on that program in college, I tried to find ways to get back on ice. I went to Iceland and started to study geology and got my undergraduate degree in geology. And then I decided to go on and get my master's and my PhD, and I studied glaciers and primarily in Antarctica in the dry valleys and the ice-free part of, I mean, I studied glaciers, but I studied them in an area with very little ice. So most of Antarctica is covered by more than a mile of ice. And there's one area in Antarctica called the dry valleys. And it is the 3% of Antarctica that doesn't have ice on it, but it does have little small glaciers that come down from the ice sheet. And I studied those little small glaciers. So that's what I did for my master's and my PhD. And then I started working at Wittenberg and got interested in other issues related to like the chemistry that you see in urban environments and how some of those impacts are like the same pollutants I was studying in glaciers, like lead. How do they appear in urban environments, and what should we be doing about them if they're not a good thing to have in your environment? So kind of studied the same thing, but in different systems.
What is your definition of climate change, and how does it relate to your work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So climate change, I mean, I think we have this long-term climate change that's going on that's driven by geology and the sun position and things like that, but over, since humans have been on Earth, we've been altering the surface of the Earth and burning a lot of fossil fuel and really accelerating the rate of climate change and the impacts that happen from it. So when I think about climate change, I try to make a connection to like, where do you live and what do you see where you live? Because I think that's what people relate to most. And in Ohio, I mean, we see things like more spring rainfall and more flooded basements and more soil erosion in the farms and things like that. So I talk about that one in Ohio. In Alaska, you know, they're near the coast, they're noticing like sea level rise, changes in like amounts of water that are going into the bay and the way fish are responding to the changes in nutrient fluxes that are changing when and how to fish, because that's a major part of their economy. So, I mean, I think about climate change as something that impacts all of us. It impacts some people a lot more. So if you're living on the coast and there's more hurricanes and intense rainfall and you have the money or the good insurance, you can return back to that place after that's happened and maybe even capitalize on damage there because you have resources. Whereas folks that don't might be forced to move away and face more hardship. So I think about climate change too as like something that impacts some people more than others. And that's why we really need to act, because we need to help the people that are most vulnerable to it.
What causes glaciers to melt, and how does it impact other parts of the environment?
How does it impact other parts of the environment? Yeah, that's a good question. So systems thinking, like I like to think about like, so if this happens, then what, you know, so, you know, what happens when we have more flooding in Ohio and that changes the amount of soil available to grow crops. And it changes the when you can plant things. And when we think about climate change, in Bangladesh, it's a low-lying country that is close to the ocean, and that because of that, sea level rises and they have more storms. And as sea level rises, it brings in with it saltwater intrusions and it makes it harder to grow crops. And so there's all kinds of cascading or interrelated responses that happen with climate change. And so when you plan for climate change, you know, the best thing to do is to reduce the source, the carbon emissions, to do our best to change policy there. But then the other thing to do is to try to respond and address some of these impacts that we know are underway and already happening. So to do the best that we can to handle things that we see on the horizon, like, you know, oh, look, it looks like in the future, there's going to be more saltwater intrusions as sea level rises, and that'll affect ag that's near the coast. So we should plan for that and start moving things, or plan for other water sources, things like that.
Well, we see news reports of large icebergs that like break off and start floating through the ocean. How worried should we be, and what can we do to help?
Oh yeah, the big ones you see in like Antarctica now that are breaking off. Yeah, I think when I think about these big things that are happening in the like the sort of like, oh, that could really change sea level in a more dramatic way than we're already seeing. Like when I think about that, it's always that we have to have hope and we have to do what we can do to make change. The faster we make change, the better it will be, no matter what challenge we're concerned about. It's better to act earlier to prevent the larger impacts from happening. So let's say like we all should be trying to work toward that policy change, or building awareness in our communities so that communities are more resilient, things like that.
What are some interesting things you have learned from your glacier research?
Yeah, so the Dry Valleys are really interesting. They're considered an Earth like ecosystem end member. So it's the place on Earth that's most like Mars. So it's a neat place to kind of say, like, you know, why is there stuff living in this glacial stream but not that glacial stream? So it's, to me, I learned there's a lot of like small variability that can occur in space that's just, you know, minor changes in conditions can really make the difference between why there is life somewhere and why there isn't in an extreme environment. And in the Dry Valleys, the presence of meltwater is the biggest like reason that there's life. But there's other things too, like how warm it gets or what nutrients are there, what gets blown on the landscape, because like it's so harsh that like things blowing around can provide nutrition. So it's kind of a neat, it's a neat place to look at it. It looks like if you look at some of the pictures of glaciers on Mars and then glaciers in the Dry Valleys, they look very similar. So
what are some ways to become more sustainable in our consumption of Earth resources?
Yeah, so being more sustainable and personal action is important. Thinking there's carbon footprint calculators where you can see, you know, how much energy your activities use, your lifestyle choices, washing, driving places, food consumption. Like, I think those personal choices are important. They kind of build awareness of like, what are some of the sources of our own inputs. But I also think you doing this and raising literacy with audiences is good, because we need communities to make change, and we need more than personal action. We need policy, and we need community planning to happen. So building literacy, having podcasts is good. Talking to people who maybe don't know much about climate change and feeling like, you know, I maybe don't know everything, but I can say I'm concerned about this and here's why. I mean, that's an okay place to have a conversation from, even if you don't feel comfortable with like every aspect of the science. But the more we talk about an issue, there's a lot of research that shows that that's one of the major ways people change their mind. So talking to people is a big thing.
What are some ways that we can get our communities and buildings to become more sustainable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, talking to more people, writing an op-ed to your local newspaper, or posting on social media on community sites where people are making decisions. You know, here's, I see you're making decisions about agriculture or about cities and land. And are you thinking about climate change when you make these decisions? Because anytime a community makes a decision about how to develop a landscape, they have a choice about whether they can make it climate friendly or not. So I think, asking that, even if you aren't sure, it's okay to just ask the question. You know, I see there's a lot of development going on in the town that I live. How are you thinking about climate change as you do this? I mean, that's a good question.
What is stream geochemistry and how does that relate to climate change?
Yeah, well, so I have studied a lot of climate change to understand the system that I was operating in. And so when you think about climate impacts, it's, the melting of the glacier and how that's changing might be the primary climate impact. You see that immediately. Well, in addition to that, other factors change, like what's happening with the chemistry of the water. So understanding that as a part of the larger system. So I think the people that study, how sea level volumes are changing and major things happen through time, ice cores and changes in CO2 through time, like that's an important way to understand how humans are influencing the climate system. And then there's all these other people who study like, and now what's going to happen to the things that live in the water, stuff like that. So it's more where that fits in.
What is water poisoning and how does it affect the environment?
Water poisoning? Yeah. So when I think about water, I think about like water quality and poisoning would be like this water is an unsafe water to however you're defining the poison to the species or to humans that you might hear about. Like we hear a lot about like lead poisoning in water in cities and things like that. So I think it's just something to be on that, like we can look at water quality and understand like what's causing water to be healthy or unhealthy in a natural way. I worked in Peru in the glacier system there. And as the glaciers retreated, in front of them was a bunch of rock that had been ground up by the glaciers. And it had a lot of metal in it. So, Peru is known for like gold mining and the Incas and things like that. So they have a lot of like metal mining legacy there. But when the glaciers pulled back, they left in front of them all of these loose rocks and small crushed up things that were, when the water from the glacier went through these areas, it actually created really unsafe poisoned waters. And it wasn't from human activity, it was from the glaciers basically doing the same thing. The glaciers did the mining. So you often think about humans being the primary source of poisoning to water, but sometimes the natural environment can be. So I think kind of trying to figure out what's the source of a poison is a big question in the work that I do. And so in urban environments, it's almost always humans that are causing it. But in some instances, you do find cases where like the natural environment is causing unsafe conditions. So being able to understand what's safe and what's not is a big, big thing to understand because we don't want people to get sick.
So if you had one piece of advice and or information that you could give to us and everyone listening, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, I think talk to people. I think that's a big thing that we can do is talk to people about climate change and the world that you'd like to see. We need to be making this change. So, and I think, and I say talk to people, it's not just coming from me, it's coming from research that there's something called the Pew Climate Survey, where they survey the attitudes of Americans about climate change. And within this survey, they ask people, how often are you talking about climate change? And the answer is not very often. So it's a major thing that we can do.
So that concludes our interview. Thanks again so much, Dr. Fortner, for being a part of our podcast.
Yeah, good luck with your project. That's neat. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
We really enjoyed this episode, and we hope you all did too. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Concerning Climate Podcast.
And remember to do good things for the environment.
See you later.
Bye.